Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you've had a really great day so far. Well, here are three words for you to think about. Fear, worry, anxiety. They're hot topics right now. Why? Because lots of people are feeling fearful, and they're worried, and they're stirred up in anxiety. And as we cover these topics often on the show and have a doctor on once a month, and he even talks about how certain foods can actually stir up your anxieties, involuntary surges of anxiety. And we often will attach those to situations, and we don't even realize how many things are involved in our physiology when it comes to fear, worry, and anxiety. But there is a battle plan in Scripture. There's a way to stand in faith. There's a way to put fear under our feet. And Allie Worthington joins me today. Title of her book is Fierce Faith, A Woman's Guide to Fighting Fear, Wrestling Worry, and Overcoming Anxiety. And we know, we're well aware, that half of our audience is men, right? And this conversation today, even though the book is written toward women, the conversation is for both men and women. So I pray that you will stay tuned, because I really believe you're going to find some encouragement here today. You're going to get some wind in your sails, and you're going to get a little bit of grit in your growl, which we all need, because you got to get to that point where you're just tired and done with the enemy messing with you. That's when we take our stand. We raise our shield and our sword, and we say, this far and no more, enemy, right? Well, let me give you a couple quick announcements before we hear from Allie. This is our second year of our Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. We are so thrilled. Last year, we had close to 700 people in attendance for our first year, had over 150 people on our waiting list, and we actually had to cut off the waiting list, and we sold out, so it was absolutely amazing. Well, we've expanded the conference this year, and we're super excited, so it's going to be a Friday and a Saturday. We have an advanced track for those who are already published, a beginner's track called the Jumpstart Track, led by Liz Curtis Higgs and an acquisitions editor named Alice Kreider, who's very respected in the world of Christian literature. And we have a singer-songwriter track. So it's going to be amazing. And Liz Curtis Higgs and Sheila Walsh are our keynotes. This is taking place in July, but we're talking about it now because we've got a limited number of one-on-one appointments. Now is the time you want to sign up so you can have your pick of one-on-one appointments, right? So we've got editors, agents, experts in the field. Hop on the website, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Take a look at the faculty, sign up, and then pick your one-on-one and get that thing locked in, all right? All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Allie Worthington's an author, speaker, and executive director of Propel Women. As an executive and entrepreneurial coach, Allie helps individuals, small businesses, and Fortune 500 companies be more successful. Her no-nonsense, guilt-free take on motherhood, parenting, and balance has led to appearances on the Today Show, Good Morning America, and others, and she lives outside Nashville with her husband Mark, and count them, five sons and a pampered rescue dog. Allie, so great to meet you. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Looking forward to our conversation. And as I told you off air, you did a fantastic job on this book. So well done and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, we love to start every day, Allie, talking Scripture. Wondering if you either have a life verse that you just take with you wherever you go, or just one you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
Yeah. It almost sounds so trite, but my life verse is Jeremiah 29:11. And when you mentioned that we had five boys, we were planning on having four. And for the fifth boy, before I even knew I was pregnant, God put it on my heart that we were going to have another son and to name him Jeremiah. And what's really fascinating about this story is after Jeremiah was born, we went through a really rough patch. We ended up going through a bankruptcy. This was almost 10 years ago. And the Lord kept calling up in my mind that he wanted me to always keep in mind that life verse, even when storms of life went through. So every day when we look at now Big Jeremiah, we're just reminded that no matter what life brings us, that what storms come, that he has a plan and a purpose to give us a hope and a future.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. Love to ask that question every day and hear how God uses scripture to just sturdy us on the path. So good. Would you mind, Allie, giving us a little bit of backstory just on your faith journey before we dig into your book, Fierce Faith?
Sure. I grew up as the granddaughter of a Southern Baptist minister. Spent a good 15 years pretending that I was a believer and playing the role, but never really giving Jesus my whole heart. And I think for a lot of people, it was when I got married and became a mother that he just began to work on me to show me, yes, you think you're a believer. You think you love me, but you don't really know me. And for the past 12 years of my life, it has just been such a joy every day to get to know him more and to go to deeper levels with him that I never did before when I would show up on Sunday, but never really talk to him and never give him my heart and all my inner thoughts. So it's been a great adventure.
Thank you, Lord. Wow. Well, you opened the book with a story about a time when you were undone in the parking lot at Target, and I told you off air that, hey, just had one of those moments this morning. So if you don't mind, tell us that story, if you would.
Sure. My husband and I, we're a great pair. He, about 4 years ago, developed a chronic illness called adult onset asthma. And for many people, that's manageable. For him, he was going through a period of about 2.5 years straight where it was completely unmanageable. So every virus, every cold the children brought home would turn into bronchitis and pneumonia. So for us, we really felt like our world was just falling apart because it was, is he going to get enough oxygen? Do we need to go to the hospital? How do we take care of this? And I really wasn't admitting what it was doing to me because I was in the role of caretaker. And it wasn't my illness, so I wasn't going to be, quote-unquote, selfish about it, right? And one morning I was going to a meeting at school, and I went to Starbucks to get my coffee, and then I was going to go over to Target next and get a little journal, because if you have to sit through a boring school meeting, you might as well have a cute journal, right?
Come on now, yeah.
And the song from Bethel Music came on, No Longer Slave. And as I started singing it, I found myself just weeping and was undone by this song. And I couldn't figure out why. And it wasn't until later in the evening I called a friend of mine, and she said, Allie, I know why you responded to that song. She said, you're so undone by fear these days. You are carrying around this weight of worry and anxiety, and I don't know how you do it because I'm watching you, and you're trying to make safety your God. And that is worshiping a false God. And at the time, I thought, well, what in the world is she saying? I was a little too big for my britches. But as time went on, I completely unpacked it and realized that that is exactly what was going on. That is exactly how I was living my life, and I knew there had to be a better way.
And we're going to talk about that. Talking to Allie Worthington, we're going to pause here. Title of her book, Fierce Faith, A Woman's Guide to Fighting Fear, Wrestling Worry, and Overcoming Anxiety. Email if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. I almost threw out that phone number. We're not taking calls though today. So email. And if you got a question for Elle, you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And we will be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Talking to Allie Worthington, title of her book, Fierce Faith, A Woman's Guide to Fighting Fear, Wrestling Worry, and Overcoming Anxiety. And I said this at the outset, that we have as many men listening as women. And I want you to know this conversation is for you, whether you're a guy or a gal, because we may deal with fear differently, but we deal with fear, right? And anxiety and worry. And before the break, Allie, you were telling the story about, dealing with your husband's chronic illness and a severe case of adult onset asthma, where he would get exposed to a cold, it would go full-blown pneumonia. He'd have a hard time oxygenating. And this went on for a long time. And so you were carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. You hear the Bethel song, "We're No Longer Slaves," and you're undone by it. And you're out to lunch with a friend going, it just wrecked me in my car that day. And she said, "Well, I'm watching you carry worry and fear on your shoulders," and you didn't even realize it. As you kind of came away from that conversation, retraced your steps, did you notice any maybe warning signs you'd missed before? I mean, what did God show you after that conversation?
I did, absolutely. I mean, for me, I didn't even want to admit that I was afraid. And I think so many people do this. We don't want to say that we're afraid or we have anxiety, so we will mask it in, I'm saying that we're stressed about something. That's what's been fascinating. And as I dove into more research, I even found that there's an interesting difference between men and women when we're battling with fear. Women have a tendency to become more depressed and kind of turn it inward on themselves when they're feeling fear, where men have a tendency to turn fear outward. So it could look like substance abuse. It could look like anger. But really the root of it is always fear, anxiety, and worry. That thing that we don't even want to name. And what the Lord taught me is the most important thing that we can do just on a really practical level is we need to be aware that we're dealing with the issue. Because until we're aware that this is something that the enemy is using to try to take us out when we're in the middle of life's storm, we're just going to be, wrecked by it, and it can completely wipe us out and take us out from the side.
So we're talking about this battle plan to fight fear. Aware is the first one, being aware of your feelings. And then that section, Allie, you said that breakdowns can bring breakthroughs. So say a word about that, if you would.
Absolutely. Because when we are living in a state where we're pretending like we're keeping it all together, sure we may be stressed about something, sure we may be a little bit angry, what we're never able to do is completely be honest with ourselves and come before the Lord and say, "I need you in this. I have been trying to manage this on my own. I've been trying to take care of this. I need you to strengthen me to walk through this difficult season. I need you to strengthen me to help me not be afraid. And Lord, I need you to come and show me the way."
So good.
And that only comes through that sense of awareness.
Mm-hmm. Instead of running from our feelings and also numbing our feelings. And that's the second part of the battle plan, is to avoid the 5 B's. So I want to pause here and just kind of unpack those before we go back to our battle plan here. One of the B's, one of the ways we avoid fear and don't respond to it, is staying busy. I often say women hide in their busyness. Say more if you would.
Oh, yes. Making ourselves busy is one of the most common and dangerous coping mechanisms to avoid the things that are worrying us. You know, if maybe we have an issue with a child that we know we need to address, but we just don't want to, or a difficult conversation that we need to have with someone else, it's way easier for us to fill up our schedules or to take on a lot of other responsibilities. We just don't have to do that thing that's causing us anxiety. Busyness is huge.
And then placing blame. How do we do that? What does that look like as an unhealthy way to respond to fear?
Well, what blaming does is it allows us in an unhealthy way to say, I'm feeling difficult feelings. Maybe it's anxiety, maybe anger, and I'm just going to push it off and put it on somebody else. One of my sons, he gets a little bit of test anxiety. And I woke up early one morning and decided to make him pancakes as a gesture, loving mother gesture. And with 5 kids, I do not make pancakes in the morning that often. And he immediately said that he was going to fail his test because I made him pancakes, and pancakes make him sleepy, and was upset with me. Now, obviously, my kind gesture of making him pancakes isn't going to hurt his test. But he's doing that classic behavior of saying, I can't handle how uncomfortable I feel, so I have to push it off on somebody else. It's super common. We see it at work. We see it in relationships. We see it all the time.
Okay, binging.
Okay, so binging is interesting because all of a sudden, binging is now in pop culture. You know, we binge on Netflix. We binge on a whole season of a TV show. And there are anything that can be done with seemingly healthy things like exercise. It's not all unhelpful things like, overeating or or drinking or whatever the other thing is, but how we know that we're using binging to kind of numb our fears is when we are doing something to excess and it's not restoring us, it's not building us up, but we're using it to cope. And I have found that my binge of choice when I'm stressed is to play on my phone. So at night, instead of going to sleep, I would stay on Facebook or I would stay on Pinterest. And what the Lord revealed to me was I was doing that because I was worried about a situation. And if I would just put my head on my pillow, I would have to think about it. So it was easier for me to avoid that quiet time and just binge on the internet, which is so, it sounds so crazy to say it, but it's a very common coping mechanism that people do.
It's so true. I mean, there are so many options now of excess that people could pass right over. But you know, we know when we're doing it to such a degree that we're postponing dealing with certain things and we don't feel better afterwards. As you said, it's not restorative. Okay, how about this one? A not so healthy way to respond to fear, burying our feelings.
Oh, this is so huge. We do it in three ways. So sometimes we deny that we even are afraid. Often, sometimes we procrastinate about an issue that we need to address, and a lot of times we just avoid it altogether. I mean, you can look in the Bible. You know, Peter was afraid and he denied Christ. Pharaoh procrastinated. He knew he should let those people go. And Jonah is like the master of avoiding situations. So these are all behaviors that we've had forever, and we still do them. So it's just, it's fascinating that we can see all the same behaviors right from the beginning of time to what we do now. It's so common.
So we are talking about the B's, the five B's, the unhealthy ways that we respond to fear: staying busy, placing blame, binging, burying our feelings, and finally, brooding. Say more about that one.
Okay, brooding is so interesting. So brooding is another word for rumination. And rumination comes from a really gross way that cows eat. They chew the cud. So they'll chew the grass, swallow it, and throw it up in their mouth, and they'll do it over and over again.
Wow.
Well, that's the same thing that we do with our thoughts. We will keep replaying like a bad movie in our head over and over and over again. It could be bad things that have happened in the past, or it could be a scary situation that we're thinking about in the future. And what is really interesting about this behavior is for people with depression, brooding or rumination is very, very common. And for people who don't yet have depression, if there is a pattern in the brain of ruminating on a bad situation, scientists have found that it can actually create depression in us. It's super important that we're aware of it.
Boy, okay, so back to this battle plan to fight fear. We've talked about being aware of your feelings, avoiding the five B's, which we just walked through. And the third step in the battle plan is to ask Jesus for help. Take whatever it is you're worried about to Jesus. Let him fight the spiritual battle. Say more, if you would, Allie.
Sure. I mean, this is, it's really the key to everything, to say, I'm not fighting this in my own strength. That we know that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against evil. And I believe that so much of our fear and anxiety is come at us from the enemy who wants to take us out in the middle of our storms of lives. And when we can go to Jesus and put him at the center and go, empower me, help me, strengthen me, it brings everything else back into order.
Yeah, he does do it for us. We ask him and he answers and he restores and strengthens us just as he promised he would. Okay, finally, in this battle plan to fight fear, attack. You practice the battle plan. You take care of anxieties on the physical plane. So you're addressing this on the spiritual and the physical plane. Say more.
Exactly. And because I think that so many of us, as believers, we do tend to think that that we're doing something wrong when we have fear. And so what we need is just a simple, practical, step-by-step solution for when we're feeling fear. And really, the attack plan looks different for each fear. The fear of missing out because we see all of our friends' great pictures on Facebook, it's really a different plan than the fear for our children. But we know at the core that our weapons in attacking fear on a physical plane are worship and prayer and just getting active, not staying stuck where we are in the fear.
Well, the meltdown that I actually related to was this one. I got my stories mixed up, but you were walking out of the pharmacy, so you're exhausted. You got a bunch of more medicines for your dear husband who is battling this really severe case of adult onset asthma, which involved all kinds of sickness. You're sad for him, sad for yourself, sad for your kids, worrying about all the what ifs, and you just broke down and sobbed until you got in the car and decided to worship. I mean, tell us about that moment and how God met you in that place.
I did. And normally, if anybody has ever been in a caretaking situation, whether it's with a relative or, you know, an aging parent, children, you know, you kind of just pull up your grown-up pants with stiff upper lip and you get it going. There's not a lot of, oh, woe is me. There's just not time because everyone's depending on you. And that's how I was living for so long. And that day in the parking lot, I sat in my car and put my head on the wheel and said, Lord, I don't know how to get through this situation. I need you to help me walk through this season well. I have been trying to do it all on my own. I don't know what this looks like anymore, but I know that I need you. And what I would normally do in that situation is drive right home and go take care of everybody. But that day, I turned on the radio in the parking lot, and I just sang. And I sang that I was no longer a slave to fear. I sang that he was a good, good father. I sang that I believed that he was the God of miracles. And I sang that he was the shelter in the middle of any storm in my life. And I sat in that parking lot, and I sang until I started believing the words that were coming out of my mouth. Mm. I sang over my life that fear was no longer going to hold me down. And I tell you, I still do it today. I will walk around my house and I will sing. And let me tell you, my singing voice is nothing to listen to. Sometimes it makes the dog want to hide under the bed. But I sing it as an act of worship and as an act of warfare.
Worship and warfare. And here again, just because we've tackled this on the show plenty of times, I mean, this is your act of war, you know, this return fire, so to speak, and it's giving God the glory and the praise he deserves. But it also affects your physiology. When your mouth engages with something that is life-giving, like God's word and his promises, something changes in our physiology. I mean, I've been there so many times before in the past where I've said, we'll never get through this. This disease is going to kill me. And I could feel it. Like, it was terrible. I mean, we say those things in our fear, but they're not good for us. And yet when you start to worship and you start to remind your soul who God is, I mean, things change, I would say, in the spiritual atmosphere, but in our physiology as well. So what you did really was an act of war on the enemy's attempt to steal, kill, and destroy. Talking to Allie Worthington today, her book, Fierce Faith. Love to get a copy into your hands. We've got a few copies, so we're going to do it the drawing way. Here you go. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put Fierce Faith in the subject line. Do remember the mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. The devil, no, not today. Love that song by Hillsong. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Allie Worthington today, author of the book Fierce Faith. And she says this, I learned that fear and worry weren't the things stopping me in my daily life. The problem was me living life to avoid them. Until I learned to fight back against the storms of worry, I would be a slave to fear, a slave of my own making. Maybe you need to hear that today. If you're driven by fear, the answer isn't you trying to, let's see, I want to think about this. The answer isn't just continuing letting the full fear bully you around and continuing to not make plans or not take adventures because you're afraid. It's to fight back against that fear. And I would love to talk, if we can, Allie, about the causes, the implications of fear, I should say. One of the things you say is that fear turns your what-ifs into certainties. Talk about how that happens.
Oh, absolutely. There's something in our brains. I don't know what it is, but I have a lot of questions to teach for Jesus when I get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
There's something in our brains where we as humans, sure from the fall, if there's a worst-case scenario, a what-if, we will automatically believe it.
Yeah.
If there are two scenarios put in front of us and there's one that's negative, for some reason, the negative one always resonates with us. I don't know what it is, but it's something that we as humans always default to. So if there's a worst-case scenario, fear will whisper this lie to us saying that is exactly what's going to happen.
And what they say is if you repeat that often enough, your brain starts to form these neural pathways, and eventually you develop a confirmation bias, and you start to see things that you're believing because your brain's looking for them to confirm what you're already believing. I mean, it really is so significant when we unpack it, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I like to call it, for myself, being the false prophet of my own doom.
Wow.
And we train ourselves to think worst-case scenario and then assume that everything's going to fall apart when we get into that worst-case scenario. I like to call it the dreaded anxiety spiral. Mm.
So think about this, friend. Are you the false prophet of your own doom? Are you considering the worst-case scenario and then speaking it out constantly? What about what Allie did before the break when she shared about getting in her car, singing songs about God being a good father, that she's no longer a slave to fear, and just imagining what that you stay there till you believe it. I just think that is the best form of spiritual warfare, Allie. I really love that you shared that. Okay, you also say that fear causes you to doubt God. Say more if you would.
Yes, there's something, again, that happens to us when we're afraid, where it is easier for us to believe in the moment that God is not going to come through for us when we are afraid. Now, for me, I had to really get to the bottom of what caused me to do that personally. And it came from, with the help of a great counselor, the realization happened where it came from when I was a little girl. My father passed away in a car accident. And I knew he didn't want to leave. I knew that I was loved by him, but in my little girl brain, I transferred God kind of into my father. And so I viewed God as this loving, wonderful father, but not actually someone that I could depend on to be there for me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've shared that story with more men and women, I tend to hear kind of people saying, yes, I can identify exactly to a false belief pattern that makes me view God in that way, too. And when we're afraid, it's just super easy to switch to, well, I know the Lord loves me, but I don't know if the Lord's really going to help right now.
Boy, I'm thinking somebody may resonate with that even right now. Okay, fear keeps you focused on yourself. Say more about that one.
Yes. Well, if there's any time that we become super self-involved, it's when we're in crisis and afraid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when challenges come, what we often do is we just switch into survival mode. Like for me, going to the pharmacy that day, it was pick up medicine, go home, take care of husband, make dinner, do laundry. You know, it's a million things. And I'm so focused on everything that I have to do and so focused on, honestly, at the time, my own misery about the situation that I forget to step back and go, Lord, you're in the middle of all of this. You are the answer to all these things because you're going to be able to show me exactly what to do. You're going to be able to bring me peace. And when we stay focused on ourselves, we just forget to take it to the Lord.
Mm, so true. And finally, fear keeps you from enjoying your life. And I would love to know, even from your own life, Allie, how you learned to enjoy your life in the midst of just some of the real battles of having a chronically ill hubby.
Well, it sounds almost trite, so let me just start off with that because I appreciate that it can sound that way. One thing I do is I practice the discipline of gratitude.
Mm.
So for me, what that means is it started with my children. When I tuck them into bed every night, I say, hey, what three good things happened to you during the day? because I'm not going to say, let's practice the discipline of gratitude, because that doesn't sound fun. But when I say, what three things happened to you today that were awesome, then they are remembering to be grateful. They're celebrating the small wins. And what we know from Scripture and what we know from modern research is when we celebrate those little small wins in our lives and when we look for little moments of gratitude, it protects us from being depressed, from being more afraid. So in the middle of a storm, I will look for the smallest things to be thankful for. I will be thankful for his clear breathing for half a day. I'll be thankful for, you know, the ability to make a pancake without burning it. I'll be thankful for the way that the dog can sleep through anything. So for me, I fight for my happiness, and I fight for my peace through gratitude.
Fight for your happiness, fight for your peace through gratitude. Maybe that's your word today, what you needed to hear from Allie. How is your hubby doing right now?
He, praise the Lord, he has been in remission for a whole year. So we've not had an issue, but in full transparency, this will, a lot of you will understand having big families. He did come down with the flu yesterday. So as of today, everything's terrible. But in a few days, it's really just fine. It's just flu season. It's January.
Yeah. Wow. And do they know what initiated this, you know, adult onset asthma that made him so sick?
They have no idea. When it came on, it was a mystery. And when he went into remission a little less than a year ago, it was a complete mystery. So for us, we're kind of holding our breath with the flu going, is this going to set off another battle? But we're both working really, really hard and seeking the Lord to not let fear creep in, because this would be one of those situations where we go, okay, everything's going to fall apart again. And it's the Lord and his graciousness had me write this book that I thought I was writing to help other people. But what he keeps doing in my life since I wrote it is he uses his words in the book to minister to me in my different situations.
I know that situation so well, Allie. Boy, do I ever. Well, I think it's your book, Breaking Busy. Is that the title? That when that released, you said you were in a firestorm behind the scenes. And I think, if I remember right, your hubby's illness was part of that. But here you release this book and it feels like all hell breaks loose behind the scenes. And the enemy is using that to attack you, which he does this. He uses our storms to try to tell us why we're not qualified to stand in battle, because that storm really does reveal what we're made of in Christ. And he's afraid we're going to realize that. But even if you would, just give us a little context there.
Sure. It's amazing. Like you said, second book launch in a row, second book launch with health issues behind the scenes. And for me, I have to just shake my head and go, I must be doing something for the kingdom if I keep getting the attack. And I think for all of us, whenever we are doing kingdom work, and kingdom work doesn't necessarily mean we're in a ministry. Kingdom work is taking care of your family, it's doing a great job at work, it is, you know, volunteering at church, whatever our kingdom work is, the enemy will take notice and he will attack. And that's when we know that we're dangerous to the darkness. I think that is such a fine, fine place to be. And when we can look at the battles that come at us as a natural progression from our wilderness seasons to our seasons of promised land living, that's when we can really be strong right in the middle of the battle.
And in that place, Christine Kane, your friend, called you and charged you to be strong and courageous. If you don't mind, as much as you're able, talk about that conversation and her impact there.
Sure. This happened after that first time when I heard No Longer Slaves on the radio and I was just wrecked. So my girlfriend had, you know, told me that I was living in fear, and I was a little too big for my britches at that time, and I thought, well, I'm not living in fear. And when the book came out a little bit later, it was a Saturday morning, I'll never forget, 8 a.m., and Chris called and said, sit down, I need to talk to you. And I sat on the edge of my bed, and I stared out the window at my backyard. She said, Allie, listen to me. With this book, you are taking territory away from the enemy. You have got to learn how to fight. The enemy is coming after you. He's coming after Mark, and he's coming after your boys. We've spent too much time running and hiding in fear. It's time for you to stand up, on the front lines of this battle and fight. And I, of course, burst into tears and said, Chris, everything is falling apart. Mark is so sick. I don't know what's going on. Everything's terrible. Because, you know, that's how you respond when you're in the middle of a crisis. And I think the Lord just prophetically spoke to her, and that's what made her call me. She said, I know. Sit down and listen to me. I have things to tell you. And it was just that encouragement of, it's time to fight. It's time to battle. The devil comes after you. He comes after us all. But you're not going to let him take you out in the middle of this tough season. And it was completely 100% life-changing for me.
Wow.
That phone call, because I never could have seen it that way before without her perspective.
Well, Allie, I'm going to ask you to do the very same thing for the person listening today. So it's kind of like you're calling them up, but they're dealing with fear. Maybe they've got a big trip, a mission trip, or something ahead of them that's only stirring up their fear. And they're thinking the answer is, well, I'm just not going to go because that's the answer. But their fears are stirred up. The enemy is attacking. And they feel like, boy, the army's coming up behind them. Would you be that friend and would you call them, so to speak, and speak to them right now?
Absolutely. God has called you to be strong and courageous. The storms of life and the fear of the next storm that may be coming at you over the horizon can leave you feeling hopeless and helpless. But we know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. And I know that you are stronger than you know. The enemy wants you to be paralyzed. He wants you to be a slave to fear. He wants to steal today's joy with the fear of tomorrow. We do not have to live in fear. God is in control, and he has only goodness and hope for our future, and we can trust him as a good father. You're called to fight back, to talk to Jesus, to ask for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, to worship him when the storm rages around you, and then stand up tall and fight back with a battle plan. You can do this. I promise you're stronger than you can even imagine that you are.
Wow. With that, we'll take a break. Talking to Allie Worthington, I think you needed to hear that today, friend, didn't you? Email me. I would love to hear from you if you've got a question for Allie. We've got one segment left with her. Allie Worthington's my guest. Fierce Faith is her book. Email if you want in on the drawing. Live the promise at myfaithradio.com. And we will be back in a minute. That song play out, Show 'Em What You're Worth by Mandisa. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Allie Worthington about her book, Fierce Faith. And she says that when we try to make safety our God, we live life stuck in fear and we worship a powerless God. So the goal isn't safety. The goal is fierce faith, engaging with God, the adventure of faith. He's calling you out and he will hold you up. Want to talk about, shift gears just a little bit for this last segment. Love for you, if you would, speak to the person who daily feels the fear of rejection, Allie. Like, you know, they feel it in their bones. What would you say to them?
Well, if my mom, when I was little, she used to talk about rejection and she used to say that it was like being pecked to death by chickens.
Hmm.
That one little peck is not going to get you. But eventually those chicken pecks are just going to wear you down. And that's what rejection does to us. Rejection is used as a tool of the enemy to take our own secret insecurities of thoughts of not being good enough and not living up to what we want for ourselves and making those weapons on us. And what happens is when we've been rejected before, it's very difficult to completely heal. And so we carry that rejection into every situation in the future. We filter every interaction with people through this lens of, I'm going to get hurt again. And one summer, I was making hummingbird food for our backyard hummingbirds. The kids and I make it on Sunday afternoons. We melt some sugar and water, and then the final step is to drop in just some red food coloring, and it turns the whole thing red. And as I'm doing that, I felt like the Lord speak to me to say, this is what pain does to our hearts. Just a couple of little drops, it colors all of our feelings, right? And nothing we can do will get the color out of that water. The only thing that we can do to get the red food coloring out of the water is to keep putting in clean, fresh water. And that's what happens when we've been through a rejection. We can't just will the pain away. We can't pretend like it's not there. We have to put in what's good, what's life-giving, and what's fresh. That means spending time with Jesus, meditating on his word. It means surrounding ourselves with people who love us and who are safe, people who've earned the right to be in that circle of trust in our lives. And it also means that we actually spend time being good to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When we've been through a betrayal or a rejection, it's really important to give yourself time, to give yourself love, and to give yourself grace. Because what the enemy wants us to do, he wants us to take our pain and turn it in on ourselves. But Jesus would never want us to do that. Jesus wants us to come in and heal. Jesus wants to show us a better way of living so we don't carry that pain in the future. So the biggest thing, the most important thing to do when you're suffering with this wound of rejection is to give yourself some time, some love, and some grace, and let yourself heal so we can stop carrying that situation into future situations.
Well, Ellie, thanks for that. And when you go back to the battle plan, that first step was to be aware. This so translates here as well with rejection, because some know that rejection's on the forefront of their mind. I mean, they walk in a room and all they're thinking about, and they know it, is what do they think of me? You know, how are they going to respond to me? But there are some who've got, I think, embedded rejection. It happened when they were young. And like you, that day when your friend was saying you're really carrying the world on your shoulders and you really weren't aware of it, I think some who are really embedded with rejection and don't realize it may be constantly putting their resume out there to everybody, constantly talking about all the good things that they do because they're so terrified of being rejected, but they just don't know. And you said it's difficult to heal from. So what would you say to that situation when someone's maybe constantly striving, but they don't even realize they're doing it out of a rejection spirit?
That, I believe, is something that 100% that realization needs to come from the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're hearing this today, in any way, shape, or form, that comment, that situation resonates, it's going to be very important that you go to the Lord and go, Lord, tell me what I need to know about this situation. Speak to me about the truth that you want my eyes open to. That is where real revelation is going to come from. That is the beginning of getting the ball rolling toward healing.
Oh, very, very good. So this battle plan to fight the fear of rejection, love this. Number one is play the so what game. Loved that. Talk about it.
That came from my teenage years. My mom, being a wise woman, had a 15-year-old daughter in me who was just so anxious about life. And she said, you need to go talk to somebody at church because I don't know how to help. And I would plop myself down on the church sofa, and I would tell my counselor all of these terrible situations that I was afraid of. And she'd go, okay, this one situation that you're talking about, what's the worst-case scenario? Like, worst thing that can happen. So I would give it to her, and she'd say, okay, so what? Now, I, being a 13-year-old girl, would say, oh, what? And she said, is the world going to end if that happens? So I would reluctantly have to say, no, the world is not going to end. And she'd say, is your life going to be over if this happens? No. And what she was doing is she was making me step back and get some clarity. And what we do when we get clarity is we ask ourselves three questions. One, is this thing that I'm afraid of, is it realistic? Because most of the time our fears are not realistic. They're kind of, you know, crazy, wild, out there fears. The second question is, if it is realistic, is it likely to happen? And again, we find that a lot of times our fears and our anxieties aren't likely. And then the third one, if it's realistic, if it's likely, can I do anything to change it? And this is where it gets really interesting. If we can't do anything to change it, we have to practice giving it to Jesus over and over and over again. But if we can do something to change it, we go, okay, this is a situation that's rational. so I go and I can do something. And then we go, what are one, two, or three ways that if this happens, I'm going to be able to cope? We just make a plan. You know, maybe it's a worry about a financial situation. Maybe it's a job change. You know, whatever it is, by making a plan, it's able not to be so scary for us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Someone needed to hear that today. So play the so what game. Fantastic. Two is use truth talk. We're talking about a battle plan for battling rejection. Use truth talk. Say more.
Truth talk is, again, it's taking a step back and going, okay, here's the situation that I'm in. Is this truth? Right? Here is what I'm going through. Is what would God want me to know? And sometimes truth talk looks like me looking at the situation I'm in and going, okay, now, Allie, this bad thing can happen, but I've got God on my side, and I'm not going to be afraid. And obviously, my dog agrees with me right now.
We love dogs on Live the Promise, so don't you worry.
She absolutely thinks that it's fantastic. I'm so sorry. There's somebody at my front door.
Yeah.
And I think I've already shared with you that my husband's under the weather, so she's going to bark for just a second because it's real life.
Totally,
but
good.
As I was saying, truth talk is just taking a step back and going, here's the truth of the situation. Here's what the Lord wants me to know, and kind of talking yourself down off that ledge.
Very good. And that third one, planning how to cope, you touched on it just a moment ago. So you're asking yourself, so what? And is there anything that I can do about this? So that is part of the plan to cope, right, is engaging in the ways that you can and surrendering the ways you can't?
Exactly, yeah. Mm. Because once we can identify there's only so much I can do, but these things I can do. And what it does is it stops the anxiety in its tracks, because we know if something bad happens, we have a plan.
Amen.
And it allows us to gain just a little bit of control in the situation.
Wow, very good. And before we pray, just got to read this. She says, since our brain does not distinguish whether the pain we feel is from a physical hurt or an emotional hurt, we need to be good to ourselves and practice emotional self-care. Just as we take care of our physical bodies when we hurt, we need to take care of our hearts when we feel the pain of rejection. As you mentioned before, I just felt like, Allie, someone needed to hear that today. This is such practical help. And in joining us today, Allie, when your husband's not feeling the best, that means so much to us. Wondering if you pray for that friend you just spoke to that's been battling a sense of rejection. Would you pray for that person?
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you are with us all the time. Thank you that you celebrate in the good times and that you're there to comfort us in the hard. Lord, the people who are listening, the woman listening, the man listening, the other side of me today, or comfort them with the truth that you know the pain of rejection, you know what they're going through, and that you are a Savior that never rejects. Mm. You bring love, grace, acceptance, and salvation, and never, never, never rejection. Lord, send the Holy Spirit to comfort, to guide, and to love. Thank you that you're with us every day. Amen.
Amen. Allie Worthington, thank you for your time today. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mm-hmm. Title of her book, again, is Fierce Faith. And if you want in on the drawing, we'd love for you to email us, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Wow, great hour today. Thanks so much for listening. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a really great day. for listening to this Live the Promise podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of Live the Promise.